Welcome to Tired as a Mother Podcast 2018. I am one of your hosts, Roxy Digital.
And I am Tiffany Marie.
And we are happy to be talking about being tired as a mother. Just a little rundown about both of us. I am soon to be a married woman, engaged, a mother of a 1.5-year-old. His name is Braxton. His birthday's in June, so he's a 2016 baby. He's about to be 2. I work at Cumulus Media for both Radio 103.9 and 95.5 PLJ as an on-air radio personality. And as far as Braxton's daycare situation, he stays mostly with family because I am the kind of mother that doesn't trust strangers yet. So if he's not with family, he is with me.
And I am Tiffany Marie. Just to give you a little backstory, I am married. I have 2 children. One, which is Peyton, my son. He is 1.5 as well, like Braxton. They are both, he's July. His birthday's 4th of July. And then I have my daughter, Callie, who is actually 5 months. I do work for Cumulus Media. I work for...
You do? That mother memory. You do.
Pregnancy brain. I work for Cumulus Media. I work for Radio 103.9 as well as Nash FM 94.7. I am the community affairs director here at 103.9. And I also have a community affairs show for Nash FM 94.7. We'll be talking about pretty much our boys, because my daughter, she's 5 months, so we'll get into that on special occasions.
Who cares about the daughter?
Here and there.
You know, when we talk about girls, right? Other than us.
But I do put my children in daycare. They are there Monday through Friday, even on holidays when mommy needs a break. But yes, my kids are in daycare, and I don't know. So,
look, I think the first topic should be, since we're at work and we're talking about where we put our kids, it should be our struggle between being at work and where to put our kids.
Right. Well, now you said you don't trust people yet. So,
I do not.
Just to let you know, we are completely different with parenting.
Completely. We are the same in that we've had these kids at the same time. We were both pregnant at work at the same time.
Right.
Her son born 2 weeks after my son. However, as far as how we parent, two totally different things.
Night,
it's like
and day.
Night and day, literally oil and water. I'm very lax. I am attached to my son, but I don't pick him up. I don't coddle him. I don't whatever, but we are still close.
Right.
We have that bond. It's just that I try to make him a little bit more independent by doing what he wants. And he gets to sleep whenever he wants. He gets to eat whenever he wants. He gets to eat whatever he wants. Whereas Tiffany,
I am the total opposite. I am the reinforcer. I am the sergeant at home. I'm very structured. They go to bed at a certain time. And I pretty much decide what they're going to do, I guess, until they're 18 years old or 21.
Here's the thing, and where I think the difference lies and why we are so different. I think it has to do with our careers.
Right.
I'm an on-air talent, so it's a little bit more flexible. And I come in, it's just 4 to 5 hours long. But I could be anywhere from in studio to hosting an event and doing this. So I'm here and I'm there and I'm here and I'm there. So my main priority is to make sure that he is still taken care of as if he was with me, but with family. So he may not get all that time with me, but as long as he's with family, I'm still secure that he will get the same kind of treatment. On top of that, I know that when he's with me, he experiences one thing. When he's with family, he experiences another, which is why I'm so lax, because he sees so many different experiences of how to handle him.
Right. And then my job is pretty much
9 to 5.
Yeah. And, you know, the usual 9 to 5. And when, at least in daycare, what I do like about them, they're structured. So I make sure to tell them what I do. And then they told me what they do, and it's helping me a lot at home too. So I mean that's like if you put Braxton in daycare now, would he be culture shocked and be like, "Oh my God, what is this?" Or would he be like, "All right, there's kids here, let me play around and see what happens and test the waters."
So here's what we can learn from each other. I want to know more about your daycare experience and exactly how it helps you, because he's around kids that are related to him, because he has so many cousins. And when he sees other kids that aren't his cousins, of course he's curious and wants to go play, but the interaction is a little bit more, he's a little bit more cautioned because he's like, I don't really know that kid, but he looks the same age or she looks the same age as me, but he gets a little bit more aggressive with them. Whereas if he's with his cousins, he's free. He, you know, he plays ball, they talk, they have their own baby language. So he is comfortable around kids who he has known because he sees them all the time, which is family.
Right.
Versus if he was in a daycare. So that's what I'm not scared of what would happen. It's just,
I'm still scared.
Am I ready to expose him to it? Because with daycare and all that stuff, then you expose the child to
germs.
Other kids and germs, and mm-hmm. you don't know if other kids are vaccinated. So that's a lot of my fears. But you said
right.
it helps you. So
yes.
now I'm real curious because I want to know about that helpful part.
It does help because actually with me, I don't have someone to watch my kids, or actually with Peyton, when I first had him, I didn't have anyone to watch him full time. So I was screwed and I said, I got to do something and I got to figure out where to go. So I found a daycare facility. I made sure to check up on their reviews, check up on who they are. Everyone there has to have a background check. Everyone there has to be criminally checked and things like that. So it's not like they have some Joe Blow going over there and taking care of your kids, because that's not
going
to happen.
What's going on, Joe Blow?
But they are structured, at least the school that I have Peyton in. So he's there. He would get there at, say, 7 o'clock in the morning. And when he was an infant, all they need to know is my schedule with him, because since he's so small, they just want to know what time does he eat, how many times a day does he eat, or the hour span.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say, well, when does he nap or things like that. But when they're so small, at 3 months when I put him in, it was just like every other baby, they eat, shit, and sleep. So
mm-hmm.
that was pretty much it. But as he grew older, it's a lot easier now, because as soon as he goes into school, he knows what he does. He sits right down. They'll have their breakfast in the morning. He'll eat with every other child there. He has his playtime, and he has a specific nap time from 12 to 3, and he actually sleeps from 12 to 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to love the daycare that you go to, and you have to have a good communication with them. And
right.
I was that crazy-ass mom that called every hour on the hour because they don't have cameras there. Now, that was another thing.
Oh.
Did I want a daycare that had cameras or not? I kind of did, but then I was like, maybe not, because I don't want some weird freak looking at my kid
right.
and doing all this weird stuff. I didn't want that. So I said, all right, I have to just be comfortable enough to know that I could pop up whenever I want. And I call them whenever I want. And that's the relationship you need to have.
Mm-hmm. So besides all of that, which I do like, we'll get back to that camera safety issue. Security issue, but what are some other advantages of the daycare that you found? Is it location? Is it, I don't know,
yeah.
you know, you said communication. Is it the other parents? Do you get to communicate with other parents?
Now,
like, how is that?
You're the one that knows me inside and out because we're besties.
Yes.
Now.
And Tiffany doesn't play with her kids at all,
no.
whether you're a parent or if you're a facilitator. So let's
right.
be clear on that, which is how I'm so surprised you even put these kids
right.
in some daycare.
No, yes, you're
Lord.
Right. Because I've had instances where I would argue and made myself known so they know not to mess with me at daycare. Yes. But what Peyton does learn now, because he's now 1.5, he learns so much. And what I do like is one of the mm-hmm. teachers there teaches their daughter how to do sign language. And he's learning sign language as
Aww.
Well and bringing it home to me. And I want to now learn sign language to communicate with him. But Peyton does talk a lot.
Right.
But I still want him to learn different things. And,
right.
you know, he's learning a lot, his motor skills. He's learning how to speak. He knows his animals. He's doing his alphabets. He's doing his numbers. So there's so much benefits of putting a child in daycare because they're learning things. I was afraid if I said I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, I would not be able to teach him what I would want to teach him and to make him grow as an individual.
Right.
But being in daycare, I'm telling you, he learned so much. He's a smart ass now. Yes. He sure is.
All right. So maybe I do have a lot to learn. Could you kind of compare that to Peyton and Callie staying with, let's say, your mom or dad or sister? Like, what do you see the differences?
The difference is, well, my sister, she did not put her kids into daycare until recently. And now I have a niece that's 4 who's in school in the UPK program. And then I have my nephew who is 2 and he's actually in daycare. You could see a significant difference from being a stay-at-home mom to being having your child in daycare, because mm-hmm. I look at my niece and my nephew, and what they learned from just going there for the past couple of months is incredible to see the growth and the difference that they have. Mm-hmm. So I actually recommend it, because at the end of the day, are you really going to teach your child what they need to know? Are you going to sit down and do the 10 million ABC songs?
That's true. Or are you Which just
gonna,
I do.
Or are you just going to put the TV on and say, okay, bye. And then, you know, do whatever it is that you have to do. That's the struggle that a lot of parents have.
No, you're right. So I'm glad that you're bringing up these differences, because I do that. I find myself, I'm structured in a way, but not really. So I implement some structured activity. Other times it's do whatever you want. So in the morning, he always has his breakfast, his, you know, normal oatmeal, banana, yogurt, and if he wants anything else. And then while he's having all of that food, he's hearing ABC. He's hearing 1, 2, 3. He's hearing me repeat words saying thank you, please, good morning, good night, stuff like that. So he'll look at me. I do a lot of eye contact. Sometimes we play ball and like contact sports so that he can look at me and run. So I want him to have not only that interaction, but to have that interaction with me, because that's another way of us bonding on top of him remembering, oh, I'm learning with my mother.
But do you do that all the time?
All the time. Every okay. morning I do that with him. So even if I do ship him off to some daycare, he remembers, oh, I do this with mommy. She right. does, you know, she plays the ABCs. I have Alexa in the kitchen. So every time I want to play the ABCs, I go, Alexa, play the ABCs. And she plays the ABCs by Lisa Loeb. He likes her voice because she's very...
Wait till he asks for Ba Ba Black Sheep. Oh,
I've already played that and he's not really into that song.
Oh my gosh. When Peyton heard that, it's nonstop in the house. Ba Ba Black Sheep. Everything is Ba Ba. Ba Ba.
I think every kid has their favorites. Right. And with Peyton, it's Ba Ba. With Braxton, it's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Oh,
he could hear that
yes.
song all day and smile uh-huh. as if he was hearing, you know, Busta Rhymes. Woo-ha. Like, it's crazy, but whatever makes him happy is what I'm putting on. And I put up this meme one time on social media about that. I was like, you know, when you're ready for kids, when you are willing to hear something
yes.
in repetition
over and over.
Are you willing to watch that cartoon episode 50 times a day? Are you
right.
willing to hear the ABCs and Ba Ba Black Sheep 50 times a
right.
day? Because it's repetition with these kids. If you don't have that, then how do they learn?
Now, what's your fear with daycare? Or what's your fear with leaving?
Catching diseases.
Well, they're going to catch it anyway. I mean, I am going to be honest.
It's a mix of different things.
I am
things.
Going
That's
to be 100% honest. They do catch a lot of shit in daycare because of everyone else. Now, you had mentioned before, did they have to be vaccinated? Yes, every child must be vaccinated. They cannot go there unless they have their shots. So they're
right.
not allowed to go in there, but yes, they are vaccinated. But yes, Peyton has caught colds from there, and then being a mom, now what do? I have to take him to work with me. So those are the struggles that I have to deal
right.
with. Like, who's going to be there if Peyton can't go to school? So that would be me. I have to now take him to work, and you know, he'll stay with me in my office because at the end of the day, I'm a working mom. I can't sit there and say, oh, I'm going to take off today because my child's sick. I still have to go, and I still have a job to do. So I would bring him here with me. And I would nurture him and coddle him and make sure that he's okay because he's with his mommy. And I know we mentioned earlier, you said that you don't like to pick up Braxton and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I used to pick up Peyton all the time because I was over the moon once I had a baby and I didn't want to let him go. So now I have an extreme mama's boy on my hands.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you know that firsthand when he came here. I mean,
yeah.
and he went with you in the studio and then...
He was like, where's mama? I was like, wow, God, I only had him for 3 minutes. He's like, where's mama? Where's mama?
Yeah.
And that's another difference between him and Braxton. Braxton, I could leave him with anybody as long as they're nice, which I don't like and I do like because at least he knows how to behave around people, but I don't need him that comfortable around strangers. But he is just quiet, laid back. He'll, you know, do whatever.
He's so lax.
But if he doesn't like you, he will tell you too. So it's kind of like, oh, now I've got to control somebody's attitude. So back to the daycare and the disadvantages. It's kind of like the germs thing, the vaccination thing. Also the bullying thing, because these kids could be either, I'm kind of scared of both, him being the bully or getting bullied. I know it's inevitable. I cannot stay away from that. Mm-hmm. It could be at any age. However, I just, you know, every child, every mother and or father, every parent wants to protect their child. So that's, right. I'm in protective mode every time I go out with him. So if people look at him weird or say something, then I'm ready to set off. But imagine, I'm imagining me not being there and that happening, and I'm already getting heated.
Well, I've had instances where Peyton has gotten bit at daycare. And then I've had instances where Peyton was the bullier and he would push someone or take their toy because that's what he wanted at
Did
that
you
time.
Someone getting bit?
Oh, yeah. He got bit. Yes. He has gotten bit before at daycare. Yes. And then the one thing I don't like, they'll do a report. They'll do all this stuff. Yes. All that good stuff when you put a kid in daycare. But now Peyton goes to school maybe the next day or the next day after and he bit someone. So I get annoyed because I'm like, well, he's learning this behavior from you guys here and yous are not doing nothing. So wow. I'm sitting there like, okay, now he got bit. So he's going to think it's okay to bite someone. So then I had to go through the whole about 2 weeks of you can't bite anyone, Peyton. You got to do this. I understand you got bit, but it does become a struggle when things like that happen because it's like, what do you do now?
Tiffany, you're not helping the cause.
I'm sorry, he's gonna learn. Braxton is gonna learn no matter whether you put him in daycare or anything like that. So maybe one day he's gonna come up to you and he's just gonna bite you. Mm. And then, you know, I mean, it's gonna happen.
He's gonna stay in that corner kneeling on that rice. 35 minutes.
Nice.
Don't be calling ACS, folks, because it goes down. We'll have another episode about disciplining kids.
Oh,
but right
yeah.
now, I'm just so wrapped up in this daycare talk and, you know, just being here alone, us recording this, I'm thinking about him and being like, is he okay? I know he's with my parents, but what's going on? What does he need? And then here comes work. So we're talking about daycare. They're fine. They're learning. They're growing in daycare. But how are we growing and taking a breather? Because a lot of the times people are like, okay, we're at work. And this is our time away from our kids. We should, you know, cherish this downtime. But there are some times where, and we've had this conversation before, you're at work and you miss your kids.
I do.
And there's times that I'm at work.
And I will close my door and I will cry.
Oh.
I will cry because I feel such an emotional connection with them. It's disgusting. It's that bad of how much. My mother always used to say, can you love your kids too much? And the way that she said that to me is the exact same way I feel about my kids. I love them that much that I get sick if I think about them and I'm like, I'm not with them. I wonder what they're doing now. I just miss their faces. What am I going to do? And I'll call the daycare and I'll ask them, how are they doing today? How's Peyton? How's Callie? And they'll say, oh, they're great. You know, mm-hmm. And then what breaks my heart is when I'll drop him off and then he's just goes in and does his own thing. And I'm like, all right, mommy's leaving. And he's like, all right, well, bye. I'm like, okay. So...
Oh, man, you're making me feel guilty.
No, but I mean, I just, I don't know. I'm telling you, I just have such an emotional connection with them. I think we're still attached at the umbilical cord.
And that's, again, like, we are perfect opposites attract when it comes to motherhood, because I'm not saying I don't miss him while I'm at work. I just cherish it a little bit more because
right.
I'm like, I know what I get when I'm at home. He wiles out. He follows mommy all over the place. He is at my beck and call, at my tone, at my toes, at my hands and feet. So I'm kind of like, I do think about him, but I'm like, he's all right. And we'll like tune in. But what holds me, what holds a strength altogether is that when I know when I'm done here and I go back and when I open the door, he runs
right.
straight to me. So I'm not as, you know, emotionally attached as you because, again, I told you in the beginning, I try not to. I have that bond with him. I'm not super attached with him, but we have that connection.
Now, is it culturally that you think it is?
That is a great question. Maybe only because...
Oh, wait a minute. Let's just say what our culture is.
Right. We should. So people are not like, who the hell are we talking to? These Zambonique tribe bitches? Okay. So I am Haitian and French. And my hubby is Dominican and Italian. And so we have a huge Caribbean background.
Mm-hmm.
And usually... with Caribbean background, we're a little bit more strict when it comes to our kids.
Right.
And old school.
Mm-hmm.
And I say old school for a very important reason. They believe in, you know, we believe in feeding our kids anything, rice and beans as early as one. they like their kids plump and healthy, no skinny kids allowed, da da da. We do everything together, 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 togetherness. But growing up, my mom was the same way I am with Braxton. Like, she knows she's the mother, she knows you're the child. So do what you got to do. I mean, we were still bonding, but it wasn't like she didn't pick me up every day, blah, right. blah, blah. And same thing with my dad. I was daddy's little girl, but he was like, okay, we do daddy little girl things on the weekends, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of maybe culturally and okay. genetically that passed down to me. And I saw that and was like, on top of that, I have so many friends that have kids, and just watching the way they take care of their child and split, you know, their career and, you know, parenting, I got my own perspective. I put my own little ideas together and I was like, okay, I see what I do want to do and I see what I don't want to do. So it's a mix of that and a mix of culturally. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, because I am half African American and half mm-hmm. Italian. Mm-hmm. And my husband is half Italian, half Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. So we got that Italian gene going on. And I mean, we are such a family that just loves each other, and we're very strong. And I know with me and my family, you can't come between us. There's no way, because anyone will tell you we would fight for our family no matter what, because we're so involved with each other. And I'm so involved with my sister, my niece, and my nephew that, you know, it might be a little disgusting to hear, but we're so attached. Everyone in my in my family is attached. And you know, with my husband, he's more of the, you're babying him, you're smothering him. I said, it doesn't matter. He is my firstborn son, and that's my baby boy, and he is up my ass 24/7, and I don't care. Because I just love when he says, mommy, and that makes me feel great. So, culturally, like you are, we're very loving, but I think what my mom had raised us is that she was just always there for us. So I'm still attached to my mother, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a daddy's girl, but my dad mm-hmm. was the stern one. So I see that in my family. Mm-hmm. I see me being the nurturing one as the mother should be, or as the mother that I am. Mm-hmm. And I see my husband, Michael, mm-hmm. who's the authoritative one. Like, it's going to be this and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that that's how I was raised. And I believe that that's what I'm mm-hmm. doing for my kids too.
You see what, you know, you start to do what you believe in and what you were raised at. Like everybody says, it's the education starts at home. So what you see is what you're going to mimic. So I just hope to, more importantly, instill in Braxton, you know, discipline, good manners, etiquette, respect for all, especially women, men, other children, other cultures. So that's really important as he gets older for me to tell him over and over again. And that's what that's when the repetition will really come into play, when he has to see the interaction with other people. So I'm grateful. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it the same way. I would probably start with, you know, just family, using family as my village, because you know what they say, it takes a village. And we are thankful to have our family, both on my fiance side and my side, to have everybody come together and really take care of this young man that we're raising. So I'm grateful forever. I'm grateful for us being in this position and having the flexibility to have our kids at times in our workplace. We'll get into that the next time we all reconvene here at Tired as a Mother. But I will tell you, all this talk about daycare and being at work and juggling it just makes me more tired.
And a quick thing to mention, that according to the conversation, research suggests that immigrant parents can be misunderstood and criticized by schools, other parents, mental health services, and child support workers who are not familiar with different parenting beliefs and practices.
All the time.
And that's just basically what we were discussing, because of your Caribbean background.
It gets misinterpreted as we're too strict.
Exactly. I would think, do they love their children? What's going on? Like, why are they not so nurturing? Why don't they cuddle them? And then I realize it's all about, you know, your culture, where you came from.
People think we're trying to groom them to be taxi drivers and then push them right out the door and be like, go make that money. It's not always about that. It's just about, you know, like what we've seen growing up and what seems to have worked. Everybody has a whole method to how they grow up and how what works in the household and what doesn't. So
right.
that's a lot of what it is. It's not ignorance. It's, you know, it's culture. It's a way of life in our households. So you can't tell people how to live their life.
Right. Because at the end of the day, no matter what your culture is, everyone loves their children, or at least exactly. I would hope so.
Exactly.
You know, but I see that you love Braxton mm-hmm. with all of your heart, and mm-hmm. just we just have different parenting, and there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, Braxton is a bright young boy, mm-hmm. and you love him.
Right.
It's
right,
just
right.
a different way of going about it. At
right.
the end, you know, at the end of the day, he's fine. Peyton's fine.
He's fed. He got clothes on his back. No infections. He don't have lesions on his fucking body. Like, I don't know. There's a bunch of shit out there. Just don't cough in my kid's face. I'm going to fuck you up. That's all I'm saying. That's real deal serious. Whenever I see people, and I took the train here this morning, people still not covering their mouths.
It's disgusting.
And we're having news reports mm-mm. on the flu killing people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, on top of me worrying about daycare, I just got to worry about getting on the train or right. transporting myself to that daycare center
right.
or wherever I got to go personally, where people are irresponsible enough not to cover their mouths. So.
Right.
Everything from daycare to sickness to
sanitizing
healthcare. We're going to talk about all of this on Tired as a Mother. Our first guest tomorrow will be head of human resources and executive at MS Communications, Patricia Robinson. She's going to talk to us about all of this wonderful stuff we call motherhood and juggling a high profile job in media. For right. one of the two biggest radio brands in New York City.
Well, I hope you tune into our podcast because we have a lot to talk about for mothers, soon to be mothers, mothers.
Teen mothers.
Oh, no, we ain't doing that teen mom.
Look, it's still on the rise, even though we have tried to, as a society, push to them to use condoms, abstinence, all that stuff.
And that's going to be another show we're going to discuss. Do you respect teen moms?
Oof.
That's a hot topic.
Don't get us started. It is Tired as a Mother. You can follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Tired as a Mother. Spelled M-O-T-H-E-R, y'all. It's over and out. This is Roxy Digital.
This is Tiffany Marie.
Have a good day and get some rest.
Please, for us too.